Hello, everybody. It's Joanna. Welcome, welcome, welcome. I hope that you are all doing really, really well on this Tuesday. And I'm just so happy to be with all of you today. So let's take a couple of moments and get settled before we jump into our topic for today. We'll take a couple of moments to breathe and to really just fully bring ourselves forward. So wherever you are, I invite you to close your eyes. Feel your seat beneath you. And really just give yourself some time and space right here, right now, to be. Use this time, these few minutes right now, as a gift to yourself, as an opportunity to tune in to yourself, to tune into your body, and to tune in to this moment right here, right now. I know that every woman on this call has had at least one experience, but really many, many more, but at least one of seeing how the simple act of connecting in to yourself makes such a massive difference in your business and in your approach to your life. So take that time, inhaling and opening up, expanding, exhaling, and letting go. Allowing the breath to find its natural rhythm and its natural cycle. Allowing the breath to fill the body. And as you breathe, see if you can use this practice today as an opportunity for deeper self-love. So with each inhale and with each exhale, use the breath to bring even more love and caring and compassion, even more honor and respect and patience for yourself. Use the breath as a nurturing bath throughout your body, your mind, your heart, your psyche, your soul, a nurturing bath that brings you back to love and brings you back to love and brings you back to deeper love, deeper compassion, deeper honoring of all that you are. As you breathe, love not only your bright and shiny parts, but love your shadows too. Love your mistakes. Love not only the results you've created that have been intended, but love even the results that maybe have been unintended. Love your perfection, love your imperfection, honor all of it, And together we'll take a nice deep breath in and exhale everything out with a sigh. So breathing in. And then allowing your eyes to flutter open, bringing yourself fully present to our time together today. So I've been planning on this particular training call for a couple of months now, waiting and looking for the right moment for us to dive into the information and the topic that that we've got for today. It's a topic that I have found in my own business and my own life to be really important. It's a topic that on the outset you might say, like, oh, you know, why are we looking at this? I wanted from today's call a how-to, like how to create a funnel, how to create a Facebook ad. You know, I wanted some content like that. You know, why are we looking at this inner piece? So on the surface, if you feel that, it's okay. I totally get it. But I want you to know that I'm really deliberately introducing today's topic because it's one that as you progress in your business and as you reach new growth and new evolutionary phases in your business, which I really feel that everyone in this group is coming to new evolutionary stages and new growth. So this topic is one that if you don't, I don't want to say clean it up because I think it's a process of continually cleaning it up, at least it is for me. But if you're not aware of it, if you're not working at it, if you're not really looking at it, it's one that will really come to bite you in the butt as you grow. And also, as you start out, it's one of those that comes into play no matter where you're at. And the topic is, it's around our relationships with other women. It's around what some people call the sister wound or the sisterhood wound. It's around our tendencies maybe to be jealous of other women, or the ways that we are in comparison with other women. It's how we relate to other women, how we receive support or don't receive support, how we perceive ourselves to be insiders or outsiders, how we feel welcomed or rejected, how we feel judged or valued, when we feel heard or unheard, when we feel betrayed or supported, specifically when it comes to other women. The reason why this is such an important topic when it comes to your business is because whether or not you're like me, where really all of your clients or 99% of your clients are women or not, right, it doesn't really matter on that. But when it comes to the type of entrepreneurs that everyone in SLI is, you're in these fields where you're supporting others, where you're helping to create transformation, where you're giving a service, when it comes to that, if you are operating and functioning with super active sister wounds, this will show up in one or many areas of your business. It will show up in your relationships with your clients and your ability to really serve your clients, help them create results, retain them ongoing. Or maybe it will show up in how you facilitate and when groups of clients come together. Or maybe the sister wound shows up when you're with prospects. Or maybe the sister wound is showing up with your team as you have one, or potential collaborators, ways that you're collaborating. Or maybe that sister wound shows up in your marketing and the ways you hold yourself back or things that you do when it comes to your marketing or your community, showing up on videos or ways that you're writing to your community. There's so many different ways, avenues that this wounding can show up and hold you back in your business, in your work, in your effectiveness in your work, in your potential to grow, and in just how you feel about yourself as you move through your life and your business. And what I've found, as I said earlier, is that it's really important to look at relationships with women, wounding with other women. It's important to look at this periodically. You know, for some women, this is a bigger deal. For other women, it's not. But either way, you really want to stay aware of and in dialogue with it and really understand how it is showing up for you and in your business. And I'll share with all of you that even though I have been actively engaged in this dialogue inside of myself for many, many, many years, and even though I teach this to others, like on this call today, and you have been doing this for a long time, even with all of that, I'm not immune to some of these issues as well. They still come up for me sometimes in my business, and they show up as opportunities for healing and learning, but honestly not without some pain first. And there's many examples I can share with you around this, but one that I'll share with you today that I think really, you know, can help highlight, you know, sister wounds can come up, like I said, in different ways with clients or, you know, with prospects or community members or team members. For me, pretty consistently where I see that it has shown up and has held me back in my business in various ways, it actually has to do with colleagues and how I show up as a colleague and how I engage with other colleagues and how I feel about myself as a colleague, particularly for me when it comes to joint venture projects, when it comes to partnering with other women in business on projects and self-promotion. And what I've noticed, you know, and have been working on and worked through a lot but continue to work on, you know, for myself through the years is that I get when I connect with other entrepreneurs, particularly ones that I perceive as having bigger businesses than I do, or bigger reputations than I do, or, you know, more successful, or, you know, whatever it is, I go straight back into fifth grade thinking. I literally become a 12-year-old in my mind, And all of the pain that I endured in the fifth grade when it came to the popular girl cliques. My school was pretty small, and there was one clique of very cool and very popular girls. And let me tell you, I was not cool or popular when I was 12 years old at all, or now really. But particularly when I was 12, I was not cool or popular. And because I was not cool or popular, and there was a whole group, it wasn't about individual women. It was really about groups of women. In my mind, I made them superior to me. I decided that those girls were better than I was, and that I was inferior. And that really caused me a lot of pain, a lot of strife, a lot of stress. Well, you know, the way that a lot of the coaching world is set up today is there are cliques. You know, it's like we've fallen in the industry a little bit into some of these like tiers of women. You know, there's these top level women coach, you know, there's a lot the industry kind of can perpetuate this, right? And so when I go to partner with other women, my thinking, because of the way that some of the industry is set up and because of that old wounding, that those sisterhood wounding from when I was younger around cliques, around, you know, tiers of women, all of my old inferiority complexes then get activated now. For me, as an almost 42-year-old, even though I've obviously had so much of journeying around my self-confidence and my level of self-esteem, and, you know, I like to think over the years I've become a more social person, you know, all of that. But somehow in that moment when I look to start partnering with other women, I become very much aware of tiers and levels and inferiority, and I get really weird. And then I hold myself back sometimes from reaching out to certain women, or if I do reach out to them, I will sometimes just act like a total spaz, which can be horrifying to me. I'll stop talking now. I think you guys get the picture. And of course, this has gotten much better over the years for me as I've been actively working on this. But this is this is one example of how if this wounding goes unchecked and if you're not working on it, how it can really become an obstacle in your business, right? So in my example, you know, in years past, not anymore, but in years past, it held me back from really growing my community in bigger ways, because I spent many years just not doing JV projects, period, because of this wounding, because of my fear of approaching others, or fear of, oh my gosh, if they actually say yes, and then this project doesn't bring to them a great amount of visibility, they're going to think I'm not cool anymore, right? Whatever it is, you know, maybe it wasn't so simplified, but I think you guys get what I mean. So this is what we're going to be taking a look at today, and how all of these different pieces show up in various parts of your business. So let's start here, and let me ask you this, and I'll give you a couple of minutes to journal on this. Based on everything that I've been sharing so far around the judgment and the jealousy and the comparison, the fear of betrayal, of not being valued, of not being heard, being left out, you know, all of these pieces, competition, what role does the sister wound play in your business? What role does the sister wound play in your business? Take a couple of moments to write on that. give you another half a minute on that one. Now what we'll do next to take this even a little bit deeper is we're going to do a little bit of like an assessment here. So we'll start with clients. When it comes to how you work with your clients, either one-on-one or in group, what's working for you when it comes to how you approach relationships with women, and what's not working for you when it comes to how you approach relationships with women? So looking at clients first, we'll look at a couple of different areas, but clients first, what's working for you with your clients when it comes to how you approach your relationships with women, and what's not working for you? And you know, I'll just add some other examples of sister wounding are maybe when you're not so excited by other women's wins and celebrations, or you have a fear that other women are talking about you. This comes up sometimes even when you're facilitating. You know, I've heard some women share with me that they're scared that the women in their groups that they're leading are talking about them. Sister wounding can come up when you're scared that other women are going to steal your ideas or take something from you. There's lots of different ways it can show up. So when it comes to your clients, what's working for you in terms of how you approach relationships with women, and what's not working for you? Next question, when it comes to prospects, what is working for you when it comes to how you approach your relationships with women, or your ideas about your relationships with women, and then what's not working for you there when it comes to prospects? Next question, I think it's worthwhile to take a look specifically at Facebook here and how you use Facebook for business. So when it comes to Facebook, how is your relationship with women coming into play there? What works and what doesn't about how you approach women or think about women or relationships with women? Facebook. Facebook is one of those places where the sister wounding can get really magnified. Next question. When it comes to networking meetings, how do your relationships with women play in there? What's working for you and what's not? When it comes to colleagues and joint venture projects, what's working for you in terms of relationship with women, approach with women, beliefs around women relationships, and what's not working for you there? When it comes to marketing to your community, whether you're writing emails or videos or blogs or giving presentations, any of those things, how is your orientation towards relationships with women serving, and how is it not working? What are you seeing there? Two more areas we're going to look at. So one, if you've got a team, is there any sister wounding showing up there? Or how is your relationship towards women working there or not working? Sometimes that sister wound can show up with team members in terms of not trusting or things like that. Competition. And then finally, in circles of women, so even you can look at our community, the sacred circle, right, or any other sacred circles that you're part of in business, how does your relationship with women support you? How is it working for you? And then what are the places where your orientation towards it isn't working for you? Where is that sister wounding showing up? So as you take a look at everything that just came through, you look through it, my next question is, how are you seeing that any sister wounding is affecting results in your business? How is the sister wound affecting results that you're creating in your business? And then as you take a look at all that you assessed, how is the sister wound affecting how you feel in your business? How is it affecting how you feel? right, so let's pause here for a few moments because I know I've already gone through a lot in a short period of time. So I want to hear what's coming through for you so far. What are you seeing and noticing and learning so far? Star two. I know this is one of those that you know, can be a little bit hard to talk about sometimes, but it's really important. Tammy.
I'm just going to go for it.
Good.
I mean, what's coming up is trust for me. Trusting other women, I guess.
You're not coming through totally clear. I can hear what you're saying, but I feel like you're far away from your phone or something.
How's that?
Oh, much
better.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, cool. So what keeps coming up is, I think, trust for me, which ultimately is not allowing me to eventually expand, you know, because I need others to work with to really grow because I can't do it by myself.
Yeah, so it's sounding like for you, that trust piece, you're seeing it, it really shows up in terms of who you're partnering with. Am I getting that right?
Yeah.
Good. So I we'll go further with this, I promise, but I'm glad that you're seeing, you have this awareness because this is so important to you because for you, partners are one of your keys to growth and also to more financial freedom. So the more that we can work through this trust piece and the sister wounding, the more we can open that up for you and you can have what you want there. Great.
Yeah.
Thank you for coming forward. Let's see who's next. I think this is Perdis.
Hi.
So
it was eye-opening for me because I remember part of the reason why I named my business Hummingbird Healings. That's because a hummingbird kind of like goes in and out. And I realized that I resisted flourishing coaching business because I didn't want to get too involved. And early on in my practice, actually, I had people approach me and ask me for coaching, but I worked with one woman. It was great. But I just find that my sister wounds is definitely have kept me at a distance with my business and people, for sure.
Yeah. I'm really glad that you can see that, right? It's so important. It's like, wow, people were asking you for more intimacy and more connection, and you're like, nah, not so much.
Yeah.
Good. Uh-huh. Good. Yeah. Okay, Marnie.
This is hard for me to get into, I was asking myself, am I resisting this? I'm not really sure, and maybe it's because I've been dealing with it already a little bit, but it was kind of hard to get in there at first, and so I don't know that I have all the answers, but I know what comes to me, I mean, like what Tammy said, was definitely less trust, but it's not even just in my business, in my life. Like I'm not scared of people's resistance, but yet after dealing with the resistance, like the after effect, I start questioning myself, even if I've handled it well. It affects my confidence. Like I pull back instead of pushing forward. Even if I've pushed forward, like with a prospect, if I've pushed forward with their resistance, I'm great in that moment. It's like afterwards. Does that make sense?
Yeah. What does that remind you of?
What do you mean? What is it? I mean,
I won't lead. I'll just share what's coming up for me.
Okay.
What's the relationship between what you just shared and your relationship with your sister?
Ooh. After I have a thing with her, of some kind of experience, usually my trust and my confidence dips.
Yeah. I'm getting chills as we're talking, like really strong chills as we're talking. Can you see that connection there?
Yeah. I didn't even think about that, and that's probably why.
Yeah. You were saying this topic, I don't know about it. I'm going like, good. And we'll go further with those pieces, but really good work there.
Thank you.
Amelia, get you off mute. Amelia.
Hi. A different thing that I wanted to add is I noticed when I was looking at how it affects results in my business,
mm-hmm.
that what came up for me first, and it's the word stranger. I had the word stranger written down like 3 different times.
Mm.
So it's hard, like once I, and, which is a variation of trust, but if you're trying to expand and grow until you get to know them, they're all strangers.
Yeah.
But yeah, so it's less trust with people I don't know. So that made me think, okay, well, what am I assuming about people I don't know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a great question. So why don't you answer that? What are you assuming about people that you don't know?
Yeah, well, it seems all to be negative. I don't know. I think there's a little out to get me part of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So
let's just
pause
right
there. Yeah, so let's just pause right there, right? So whether you're conscious of it or not, in your business actions, there's always this belief or this hint of this belief of if they're a stranger, they may be out to get me.
Yeah, I hadn't even thought of that.
So just think about what that does to your marketing and your outreach if that energy is swimming around
right.
in there with you.
Right, so why do I want to be vulnerable and visible if they're out to get me?
Yeah.
These vague people I don't even know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
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 Okay, good.
Okay,
we'll go further with that,
okay.
But I want you to sit with that for a little bit.
Okay, thanks.
Okay, good. I promise you guys I'm not just leaving you hanging with all these ickies. I do want you to sit with it a little bit. Leora.
Okay, so I wasn't going to say anything, but after you had that thing with Marnie, I'm like, maybe she can help me see my connection to this. Is it my mother or what? Because I also was not feeling very much, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So what came through as you were assessing? What did you see?
You know, like occasionally some women, like I don't have that thing that, you know, not that you're expecting us to have the exact same experience, but I didn't have that kind of experience growing up that you shared. And
mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, I have my whole thing with weight and not feeling like, you know, I look good. And
mm-hmm.
I don't know if that's a thing. But
yeah. So how does that, let's see, it may or may not. So how does that relate to your relationships with women?
I don't know. When I was thinking about my relationships with women, like there are certain women that I have issues with,
mm-hmm.
and I think I probably have more issues with certain women than I do with certain men, and men are like more like salient to me somehow.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't feel like, and again, I'm like, Marnie, like, is this resistance or is this just how it is? It doesn't feel like it's because they're women.
Mm-hmm.
So
the women that you have resistance to, what is it about them that you have resistance?
There are a couple, like, that were just, you know, that I was just with in Poland, and, like, they're, like, kind of climbers. Like, they try to be, like, all in with people, and they don't really have integrity, but not everybody knows that.
And why do you think you're seeing that in women but not in men?
Uh, I don't know. I mean, I happen to know those two examples of those women. I'm sure there are men, but...
Yeah, so it may not be that it's specific to women, and at the same time, it might be worth meditating on if there is a connection there for you.
I mean, I definitely had a way better relationship with my father than my mother, you know, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So there might be something in that for you, that the judgment is more with the women than the men. It might not be. It may not have anything to do with this. But I would look there. And I agree with you in the sense that, like, what I know, you know, knowing you and how I've tracked you, like, I don't see anything obvious there around this wounding. But what I will say is that I can say with 99.9% assuredness that it's swimming around for all of us, just in different levels or degrees or different ways. So I'd look again. I mean, I think this piece, you might be on to something. I would look at any jealousy or competition pieces that come up, at any place where you feel like you might be catty or other women are being catty towards you. You may not find anything that, you know, that's valid, but I have a sense there's at least something.
Yeah, I guess competition things do tend to come up more with, like, if a woman is doing something that I wish I were doing,
mm-hmm.
I'll be more like, have that feeling of,
yep.
But if a man is doing
it,
and I feel like part of
that. Okay, so
there
you go. So we just hit that, right?
But I think part of that is because in the way, you know, the time that I grew up and stuff, it was like men were supposed to be doing stuff, you know, and it's like, so it doesn't feel as it's taking away from me or something, but.
What doesn't feel like it's taking away from
you? Like if
you?
A man is doing something,
yeah.
It's like, oh yeah,
so,
a man is doing
mm-hmm.
it, yeah, whatever.
So there you go. So what I'm hearing is that for you in some ways, when it comes to accomplishment, with women, you see it as a pie. If some women get some pieces of the pie, then there's less pieces of the pie available for you.
If it's in the particular thing that I want to be doing.
Yeah, yeah, of
course. Yeah, not if it's something else.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so, but this is significant, right? So then the next question I'll ask you, and you can look at this on your own. So then based on that, how is that showing up in your business? How has that been? What does that either keep you from doing or cause you to do or feel or not feel in your business? That
okay.
makes sense?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, one guess that I'm going to make here, and you can meditate on it, is that some of the dejection that you sometimes feel and the ways that you then take yourself out because of it might be related to this.
Okay.
Okay, good. So continue to think on that. Let's see what else wants to come through.
Okay.
Great. Let me take one more here. Alicia.
So something Amelia said struck a chord with me. I have sort of the opposite issue from what she described, and that's I trust, and this is very varying degrees of this, but there is some trust issues there, but I trust strangers more than some of the people I know. Not everyone,
mm-hmm.
and again, there's shades,
yeah.
shades there with that, But I don't, I guess because I don't really have much expectation with strangers as much as I do with people I know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That makes sense.
So it does. Yeah, it does. And I'd say you're probably not alone in that. I think, you know, I've certainly heard that before. So how does that get you stuck in your business sometimes?
Well, I think I have concerns, and fortunately I have been proven wrong a few times, but I still have concerns that once someone, a prospect or a business partner, whoever, networking person, gets to know me, that they're just going to think, oh, well, she's a fraud, or she's, you know, something negative,
yeah,
whatever that
mm-hmm.
might be.
Yeah.
Where they'll turn their back, because you know, I've had friendships. I had friendships some years ago where the woman just decided one day she didn't want to be a friend anymore. So,
mm-hmm.
and I never knew the reason why. So things like that,
mm-hmm.
I think, have an effect.
Yeah. Yeah. And then you can see how then that might stop you from certain kinds of marketing or going further with prospecting or with enrollments or in presentations or whatever it is, right? That old fear coming up.
Yeah, yeah.
Good. Okay, so before we continue, let me just ask, is there anyone that didn't raise their hand that's like, I am not seeing anything here. I don't get this. I'm not seeing any connections. Just let me raise your hand, star 2, if that's the case. Okay, great. So then let's take this further. So if there is any of these pieces that we've been talking about rolling around, and it sounds like for everybody there is to, you know, to different levels, then we wanna move through it, right, so that it doesn't have to act as an obstacle in our business anymore. So the first thing we want to do is become aware of it, which we've already done. The next thing we want to do is just to lightly understand what's the belief that is running through the wounding for you? So both Marnie and Leora, as I worked with them, they gave beautiful examples of this, right? So for Leora, it was, well, if some women are successful at what I want to do, then there's less success for me. For Marnie, a limiting belief was, if I show up strongly and boldly and speak my truth, I'll be okay in the moment, but then afterwards, I need to hide. I need to shrink. I'm not going to be loved. I'm going to be wrong. So, you know, and Amelia gave us a beautiful example of that as well. Felicia, right? So what's the limiting belief that's running through your sister wounding? For me, in my example, it goes something like, you know, there is a circle of elite women that are better than me that I could never be. I'm just not good enough to be a part of. There's something inherently wrong with me. I can't be part of that. So what's the belief for you? And then the next question is to just lightly understand where that belief came from. So likely that if you have an actual sister, that may have come from your relationship with your sister or cousins or friendships that you've had with other women or groups of women over the years. It may come from other places, but those would be the first places that I'd look. So if you have an actual sister, what is the wounding with her? If you don't have an actual sister, whether it's cousins or friends, what's the wounding there? Let's see if you can just uncover some connections here for yourself so you can see the bigger picture. So let's pause here just for a minute or two. I'd love to hear one or two shares. What are you seeing so far around the limiting belief or the origin? What's coming through for you? Hardy.
This is a topic, this whole sister wound thing has been a big theme for me. And so I just want to acknowledge first that I'm really glad we're talking about this. So my limiting belief is that I'm going to be betrayed and that it comes from the fact that I have been. I'm actually one of those people that when somebody's given me a reading, it's one of the first things that's come up about how women have betrayed me and how it's like it's a reality. So unfortunately for me, it's not something that I've made up. It's just a fact. But I have come to the realization that there are possibly ways that I could, let's say, maybe check in a little bit more and ask a little bit more about whether I need to have a certain relationship in my life, and just kind of trust also that even if the betrayal does happen, there might be like a good lesson out of this. There might be an opportunity for growth out of this. There might even be an opportunity to shift the relationship in a better way. So this is something that I'm still dealing with, and I'm trying to learn from.
Yeah. Beautiful. This is. I can feel how important this is for you, Perdis. And one thing that I want to reflect on is that I get that, you know, it's a like it has happened, and I also heard the charge in your voice, the energetic charge when you said this is a reality, right? Like what I heard in that was like, this is a reality, so don't try to tell me it can be any other way.
Yeah, but it doesn't mean that I'll continue to be.
Right, exactly. So that's what I want to open up for you the most in this moment, is just this awareness that actually it can be another way.
Yeah, yeah.
And for you to sit with that for a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely. Good. I get that.
Okay, good. Beautiful. I'd love to hear from one other woman on this, maybe someone who hasn't shared yet. What are you seeing so far for you, Star 2? What's coming through? Anyone else want to share? I'd love to hear from one other woman. Tammy.
I was going to give someone else a chance, but since no one jumped on, I figured I'd jump in.
got you, and then Wendy raised her hand right after you. Wendy, I'm coming for you, too. So be prepared.
Sorry, Wendy.
Tammy, I'm so happy you raised your hand also. What's coming through?
Okay. I'm trying to figure out, like, what the existing belief is. I feel the energy around it, and I'm just having a hard time kind of really, like, honing in on it. But I feel like in my life I've definitely had relationships with women where I've been completely open, and this was before I was really connected deeply to myself, where I got burned, you know? So there's this sense of like, yeah, that happened, but I also know I was like a participant in that. Like, I wasn't fully and completely with myself. So I don't know how much of that is there, you know, when I think about it that way. I guess there's definitely a piece of feeling safe and able to, like, what's then coming up after that is this idea of, like, when I read over the notes that we took, this idea of, like, I feel really open and safe with clients, and I really pick who I have in my space as I expand and get more comfortable. But, like, if I were to do it in a group of people I didn't know, there's definitely this, like, worry of, like, A, trusting maybe someone taking my ideas, but also this idea of judgment, for sure. So I guess, like, as I kind of pulled layers apart, like, that's kind of where I came to a little bit deeper.
Yeah, I think all of that. I think you have articulated it really beautifully, because you can see what there's two limiting beliefs. One is, like, I can't fully trust other women if I don't really know them. And number two is, I can't trust them not to judge me either. And you're seeing exactly how that's been holding you back, too. Am I getting that right?
Yeah. I'm still percolating, but
It's a big topic, and it will, like, you're not the only one. Like, it's going to percolate. Good.
Yeah.
All right.
Thank you.
Good. Wendy.
Hi. Sorry, I have a bad cold. So I think mine is less about maybe a sister wound and more about avoiding conflict.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I see that everywhere, really. That, you know, it's easier for me to just shut the door than it is to deal with the conflict.
Yeah.
Close the book and end the chapter or whatever. And I think that holds me back in numerous ways. And then I think the other limiting belief that I came up with is, you know, when you talk about Facebook and all that kind of social media and seeing what everybody's doing, I get the belief that other people are much more disciplined than I am to get things done.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So those are the two places where I...
Yeah. And can you see where those originated from?
Yeah, I mean, part of the avoiding conflicts is, you know, all the way back to just kind of birth order and just, you know, I have people in my family who love to get into a conflict with me, but I will never bite.
Mm-hmm.
It's just not it's not my nature, and I don't enjoy it. But I do think that holds me back in a lot of places.
Yeah. Yeah, what's coming through as you're talking is also you're expecting a certain kind of conflict to happen based on those experiences, but that may not even be the case. And so what
mm-hmm.
happens is you hold yourself back from opportunity in order to avoid conflict that may not even
mm-hmm.
be there.
Exist, yeah.
Yeah.
That's true. Making up the stories, yeah.
What about the I'm not organized enough?
That sort of, you know, other people might feel competitive or, you know, there's less for me or whatever it is. For me, I look at other people and I think, oh, my God, they're so disciplined in how they get things done. Mm-hmm. And I see that, I guess, as one of my big weaknesses.
Where do you think that comes from? Because knowing you the way that I do, I'd say you're pretty darn disciplined.
It always feels like people are doing more.
Mm-hmm. So, again, like going back to birth order or whatever it is, where would that belief have even come from? Other people are doing more. They're more disciplined. They can get it done, and I can't.
You know, probably all the way back to just that procrastination and laziness of, like, the teenage years.
Mm-hmm.
And the college years, and I still feel like I don't procrastinate near as much as I did when I was young.
Yeah.
But I still have tendencies toward that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's that sometimes, and I cut myself a lot of slack now, but that sometimes just feels bad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So the reason why I'm pushing this with you is for you and for everyone else. Because tell me if you agree with this. You might not, and you know best, because it's you, but what I'm seeing here, Wendy, is like there's the actual reality of, oh, you might procrastinate sometimes. That's
mm-hmm.
a truth. But then what's actually way more hurtful is this old identity of I'm a procrastinator.
Mm-hmm.
Do you see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Because now in my grown-up life, I can see, all right, you know what? I do like to prep the 2 hours before a class, and that actually works better for me than prepping 2 days before.
Yeah.
So I
read that.
But
that's when you're conscious of it, right? But then what's happening
right.
so much of the time is you're walking around through your business going, I'm a procrastinator. I can't get it right. I'm not going to do it. Right? And then that affects not only how you feel, but then that actually, energy follows energy. So then that actually affects
mm-hmm.
the actions that you take.
Mm-hmm. It does. And I can see that I even, you know, I don't procrastinate near as much as I probably think I do,
mm-hmm.
but it does drag me down.
Yeah, because then you tell yourself you're a procrastinator, and then you
mm-hmm.
act more like a procrastinator because you're telling yourself you're a procrastinator, and then you're on that cycle.
Yeah, that self-fulfilling prophecy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Good. Good. Okay, so where we want to go next, there's a couple places we want to go next with all of this that you've uncovered so far today. So the first is, now that you're seeing what you're seeing, what does your higher wisdom want your new belief to be? What does your higher wisdom want your new belief here to be? Write that down. Next question, if you were to 100% operate from that new belief in your business, like, let's pretend like you are now totally, you believe this new belief that your higher wisdom wants here. If you were to be operating 100% from that new belief, what would be different in your business? What would you be doing differently? How would you be feeling differently? What different results would you be creating? And then the next question is, based on all of that, what is one action that you can take immediately to start living this new belief? What's one action? Another way of asking this question is, if you were to fully believe this belief, what's one thing you'd be doing differently right now? What can you start doing differently right now? So we've got a couple of minutes left. I'd love to hear just any more revelations, what's coming through, what you're seeing, what questions are coming up, where you're feeling stuck. What else is coming through for you? What do you need to share or ask so that you can either fully be seen or fully get what you need from this call? Star two.
Hi again. I have to say, for me, you know, when I really dig deep into this whole conversation, it's a little scary for me because, unfortunately, I've had a track record from seventh grade, and even something happened last year with two friends. So, you know, I guess I just want to say that I'm going to try as best as I can to be vulnerable and open, and maybe even, I mean, when I really think about it in a ballsy way, it's like, well, maybe I should fucking start coaching. You know, really allow myself to take my gifts to the next level where I can help women on a deeper level. So,
yeah, I hear you. I hear what you're saying. And so it doesn't have to be like, you know, 0 to 100 overnight. Right. Like there can be baby steps in here if that's what's required. So what is the next baby step here for you?
Well, the next baby step is obviously my healer program and really, really not being careful in my enrollment conversations to get very close and intimate and having
intimate
conversations.
That's it right there, Pardee, right?
Yeah.
Like for you, the next, and this is going to, I sense this is going to change so much for you. I think what you just said is so brilliant and so wise. For you, it's about in your enrollment conversation to be willing to go deep and get intimate and not run away from that, not shut that down.
Yeah.
That's
going
to make a big difference in your enrollment.
Yeah, I mean, I even had a conversation with Marcy about how one of the things, and even I've had a conversation with Marnie. Marnie's like, you want to get into how they feel? And then it's like, oh, and then with Marcy today, it was like, I don't even know, I'm not as comfortable creating in my business an open and vulnerable space so that I can ask the questions so that people can answer. Oftentimes, people come to me to just tell them what to do.
Yes.
So it's a new muscle.
Yeah. Yeah. Beautiful. Good. Really well done.
Yeah.
Can't wait to hear
Thank
how
you.
That goes. You're
Thanks.
Welcome. Marnie. Oh, oops, hold on. I keep on.
Hello?
Hi.
Yep. Hi. Just making sure. So I kind of laughed out loud about how this was affecting my business, not because it was funny, but just like, oh, I get it. Okay. This is the thing I've been working on all year about the start-stop muscle thing in my business and that I hide.
Mm-hmm.
And I go, like, I get quiet for a little while and hide. And I've been doing it less and less. So I'm definitely aware of it, but I can see where it's still, okay, it's still in there, it's still in there, and it's just, it's continuing to push myself that, trusting me, it goes back to trusting myself and that my energy is going to follow my energy, and their energy is going to follow my energy, and I know my brilliance, I know what I do and how amazing it is, I know what I've done for myself, for my child, and for the clients I have already worked with, and even my friends and family. And this is just staying in that and not giving into that old voice that is really not who I am.
Yeah. I want you to write this down.
I'm driving. I'm on my way to pick up Eli,
okay.
So I can't write
for somebody,
down, but I'll listen to it.
Okay, listen, and somebody on the call write this down for Marnie. And I want you to take this in. And you might have resistance to this at first, but I want you to really take this in. My prospects and business community will not respond to me the way my sister does. Do you understand why I'm putting that out there for you?
Yes. Because my sister hides.
Because the stopping and starting is so much related to what you were sharing earlier on the call because of that pattern with your sister, right?
Yeah.
You do something bold, you outreach, you speak your heart, right? And then you're scared.
Yes.
And that's exactly that stop-start. In your business. So I want you to remember every single day that your business is not your sister, your clients are not your sister, your prospects are not your sister, your community is not your sister, anyone that you do a speaking engagement with is not your sister. Do not expect them to respond the way your sister does.
Ooh.
To you.
I'm taking it in. I'm not rejecting it at all. I'm trying not to cry right before I pick up Eli, but yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Very much resonating.
Good. Good. Mm. Beautiful. Good work. Any last share before we wrap for today? All right, then I will trust that we're complete for today. Thank you all for looking at this. This is a tough topic to look at. It's a tough topic to look at in a group of women. So I just really honor your willingness and your courage and your commitment to yourselves and to your work. As things come through, please feel free to share and share on the Facebook group. Let me know. And I'm sending you all a big hug. I'll talk to you soon. Bye.